If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Oh, the tournament is back. Did we forget about that? I said this the other day on social media. We go from a million games on Thursday, Friday to like, where are all the games?
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday even felt light, and now they really feel light. We got four games tonight, four games tomorrow. In Houston, keep an eye on that lower left bracket. Or, who is that? Is that mine? Yeah.
Yes.
And I've got Clemson. Hamby's got Alabama. Who do you have coming out of there? Remember?
Yeah.
You have Arizona?
I have
UNC.
I have Arizona, I believe. No. For the Final Four?
Yeah.
My Final Four is Marquette, Tennessee, UConn. Thank you.
You do have Arizona.
And then Arizona, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so that left side is different for you versus us.
Yeah.
For sure. So that's going to be the key. Well, actually, your Final Four is different than all around.
Yeah.
So
someone's got to hold down the money for us.
I guess so.
I don't think we have too much to worry about.
We're not concerned with Z Fortner, are we?
Shots fired. should have brought in Mitch Morse to replace him. What are you going to do?
We were just saying that the games tonight are really good.
Yeah.
Like that's what's the cool part now is you get to a situation where maybe you do have more chalk than you wanted to, but then you really get some great matchups. I mean, what's the lowest seed left? Is it Clemson at 6?
No, it's NC State 11.
Oh, NC State 11. Yeah, they'll play tomorrow. But that's it, right?
Yep.
6 and 11. So Clemson, Arizona tonight to lead things off on CBS. San Diego State, UConn, which is pretty fascinating, right? Because isn't that a rematch of the championship game?
Yes.
Pretty wild that worked out to be the same.
Yep.
Alabama, North Carolina. A lot of people think this one's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Hamby, you need this one to pull through for you, huh?
Yeah, big one for me.
Yeah,
it's a big night for us.
Huge
7 and 9 games.
Yeah, huge.
This one's fun. Illinois, Iowa State. Iowa State is good. Iowa State.
That's the game of the night for me.
Try not to pick much chalk. I really don't know as much about Illinois.
Yeah.
But sneaky, like Illinois over the years has times where they're really good in basketball, and it looks like this is one of those years.
I mean, it's a result of the transfer portal because everyone that they got is from the transfer portal, and they're definitely the best team from the Big Ten, in my opinion. Sorry, Purdue. But I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup. You have Iowa State's pressure defense. Illinois is more of a running gun led by Terrence Shannon, but also Marcus Damask is a good player himself. So, yeah, I'll be staying up late for that one for sure.
Oh, you are?
Maybe. For a little bit, yeah. I see the 9:59 start time, I think it says.
That one's a 10:09 start time.
Okay, well, 10:09, then I'm sure they're going to run a little late, so maybe probably like a 10:30 start. Yeah, I'll probably DVR and check it out tomorrow morning.
What I wonder now is because we have – do you think – the viewing has been really good this year. And that's considering, I think I saw somebody say that's without like a Zion Williamson or, again, we said this multiple times, the NCAA Women's Tournament has better storylines than really the men's college basketball tournament. But the tournament's been really well viewed. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that takes a little bit of luster off with, again, just the 6 and 11 seed remaining, or do we lock into some really good basketball and that helps? Like, I don't know if it helps or hurts.
No, I mean, I think – so in the beginning, I think it kind of hurts a little bit because you get rid of your Cinderellas. But, like, can UConn do what they've been doing to San Diego State now? Like, if UConn beat San Diego State by, like, 20-30, then it's like, oh, man, like, this team's the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, like
– they can make it boring.
Yeah. We've seen the first two games, obviously, against, lesser opponents where they've done their thing. But now, like, San Diego State's a pretty solid team. Let's see what they can do against UConn now.
So you think the best game of the night's Illinois-Iowa State?
Absolutely. Because that one, sorry, Hamby. Like, I see North Carolina winning, Alabama. I see UConn winning. I think Arizona's too talented. I think they beat Clemson. I don't know how to pick the Illinois-Iowa State game.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you have Arizona. I still think Clemson could make some noise there. I'm going to stick by that. But the interesting part about that Clemson matchup, did you see the story where they went back home? I forget where they were playing first, but they went back to Clemson. They spent 12 hours on campus and then had to fly out to L.A.
Jeez.
So they got them like going all over the place. But that's a little bit of when you're kind of in that midsection of a seed.
Yeah.
Like you don't get the – I mean, Arizona obviously doesn't have to go very far going over to California. So there's – I wonder how big of an advantage that is. Or does it even matter, right? It matters if you get blown out. People will be like, oh, that was a big disadvantage. But if you win, people are like, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
Doesn't matter,
so
sure.
Really, you just kind of spin it the way you want to spin it. One quick look at tomorrow in the NCAA. NC State Marquette. I mean, really, I know you're a Marquette guy. Couldn't ask for anything more, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a tough matchup, too, as well.
Yeah, but you're getting 11 seed. I mean, you got to love that in the Sweet
16. No, you got to love that, but is anybody hotter right now than NC
State?
Say. You know, and now they've had some I'm really curious to see in terms of you got to think the rest is going to help NC State.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But, I mean, talk about the hottest team right now in college basketball having, I think at the time, played 1-7 games in their last 12, I think it was, or something like that. I'm curious to see, do they come out maybe a little cold now, a little rusty, just from having that extended break?
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's kind of like, I say this a lot in baseball, you want to just keep rolling. If you're hot, it doesn't matter. Go on adrenaline and keep it rolling. Gonzaga-Purdue, I love it. I love it.
Great game.
I mean, that should be really good because we just don't feel, Gonzaga could be a 5-seed, but we're not fooled. And yes. I don't think Purdue will be either. Duke and Houston. These are two dominant. Well, Duke's dominant right now. Dominant. Mm-hmm. And then I actually think the best game of the weekend, of the 2 days, is Creighton, Tennessee. That should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Both teams that I think actually could win a national championship, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially Friday, I look at all these matchups thinking, like, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with any of these. So,
yeah.
And listen, and this, I mean, I get
I really do like Marquette, though. More and more I watch them over these couple of days, I'm like, they can do a little bit of everything.
They can. Like I said, though, the size scares me a little bit of North Carolina State. That's the only thing. But, yeah, I mean, listen, people wanted to sleep on Marquette, but you forgot you have one of the best point guards in the country coming back. And that was the biggest question. How are they going to play with Colette coming back? Well, it took them a half to kind of get readjusted, reacquainted, but since then, hitting the ground running.
So I'll just put a bow on this. I just asked it on Twitter again, we talked. I got 11-6 seed, and outside of that, you got 5 in chalk. You know, I mean, you really got a lot of chalk here. There's no doubt. Hamby, you like it? Would you rather see like, I don't know. I mean, you weren't going to get Oakland and NC State, so 11-6. Would you rather see a 9 still playing against Purdue, an 8 against Houston? Or maybe it's 8-4 Houston loads, right? Like if Texas A&M had won. So would you rather see right now Texas A&M in and like a 9 seed against Purdue, whoever that would have been? I guess that would have been the second round game, so that wouldn't make much sense. But or maybe 9-5, so somebody beats Purdue early like it happened before. And we do have one double-digit seed. So, I mean, Cinderella still is in the dance. Like what's better for you guys right now? More Cinderella here on Thursday, Friday, or... this is okay. This satisfies enough.
No, see, like, I appreciate the Cinderella stories, and that's kind of must-see TV, but there's still plenty of storylines.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have arguably the best player in college basketball right now who they haven't gone over the hump at Purdue. Can they finally go to the Final Four? Like, is this the final of the year, or are they going to be a cursed team forever? So there's still storylines that I'm super interested in following.
Yeah, I think, obviously, one more Cinderella would be great, but at the same time, for some basketball fans who haven't really followed these teams, there's still a little element of it that we want to see the Giants go against each other that honestly we don't always get in March Madness because of the Cinderella teams. And obviously, you know, tonight and tomorrow, none of these teams play each other, you know, really in the regular season. Like you're never really going to see UNC Bama, Arizona Clemson,
even a little
like
Iowa
that.
State. Yeah, you're not going to get that.
Gonzaga Duke. Is that what it is?
Gonzaga Purdue.
Yeah, you're not going to get that in the regular season. And so these are still the opposite of Cinderella, where because you don't have, we never really get this great of matchups this late into the tournament, more so this year than any other year.
Okay, but. So with that, just to put a final thought on this, I'm trying to come up with, as I look at these 16 teams, I'm trying to figure out the story. Obviously, if NC State wins, you're going to be an 11 seed going to the Elite Eight or potentially the Final Four by the end of the weekend.
That's a story.
That's a story, and there's a lot of history there with Albano and the 80s. Like that could be a mega story.
You know what that story is, Brent? It's the importance of a conference championship.
If they go.
Because without the conference championship, they probably wouldn't have been the tournament.
Well, so it's actually got a multiple level of stories, right?
Yeah.
They're Cinderella,
yep.
The conference championship stuff, but also the history of it because of winning it in the past and the way they did. But outside of them, what's the story?
What about Gonzaga?
Yeah, I feel like, but Gonzaga's been a story for 20 years.
But they've never won it.
I know, but they've gone, this isn't enough. This weekend's not enough for that to satisfy that.
I got you. Yeah,
I'm talking about like this weekend, going into Saturday, Sunday, or even coming out of Saturday, Sunday, potentially. Like, what are we going to say?
You could probably, you're kind of looking at which giant can survive four tough games. Because, I understand that Cinderella, you can't take anything away from, and that's still a really tough game. But there's no doubt that matchup-wise, the one seed would rather play the 11 Cinderella than the 2.
Of course.
Or the 4, or the 1, the 1.
Yeah, so you're going to really have to earn it.
Yeah, you got to earn it, almost.
Like, they ain't talking about that on, the CBS This Morning show, the early show.
I mean, the way I see it, and this can theoretically happen, once again, I still am a little leery, though, with NC State. Marquette wins, UConn wins, it's Big East. All right, so you're talking about that.
That's a good one.
As the biggest conference that was disrespected. Yeah, I'm sorry, and Creighton too. Thank you, yeah. I forgot about them. There you go. So you have one thing there. If Tennessee gets beat, if the SEC is finally going to be out, Alabama, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That could be a storyline.
Okay.
I mean, and listen, I don't like necessarily going like conferences and that having be a storyline, but that's kind of where we're at now when you have a lot of Cinderellas.
Well, because oddly enough, that's a cool storyline, actually. Well, it kind of resonates with me because of the Big East as well. But part of that storyline is right now, can't you kind of say that the committee got things more right than wrong? The chalk is winning. Like, they seeded these folks the right way. They got all the storylines Thursday, Friday, the opening rounds.
Yeah.
They got everything they needed. They got upsets. They got all this stuff. They were getting hammered a little bit for all the SEC law, all this other stuff. But really, when you get chalk like this, they kind of did it the right way.
Sure.
As of right now.
Well,
but the only thing coming out of that could be, okay, but you didn't give enough love to the Big East.
Well, and this was my storyline when we filled out our brackets, and I have Marquette and UConn in the final. And who knows? It could happen. But if that's the case, if we have Marquette and UConn playing for the national championship, there's got to be blowback, right, in terms of the Big East not getting more love in the selections?
There's got to be more, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll try to make up for it next year, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what you can do.
The whole conference is getting in.
Us. Hey, right now, listen, you can have plenty of blowback right now. The bottom line is they did not respect the conference enough when these teams are 6-0. Three of the teams that got in are all in the Sweet 16. Yeah. And like I said earlier in the week, whether St. John's or Providence or any of those teams, you have to play these guys like 6 times. That should have been factored in. And we knew they were all good. That's the thing. They all got 1, 2, 3 seeds. So you knew they were good. It really is surprising they didn't get more in reality. All right, let's take a break.
Ken Palm, bro.
We come back. We will get to our individual awards in Major League Baseball. Plus, we go ice skating and maybe over to the baseball ground. Still a lot to do in the next half hour or so here on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. You can find us at actionnewsjax.com, the Action News Jax app as well. It's the Brent and Austin Show.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back to Action Sports Jax 24/7's Network, actionnewsjax.com, the Action News Jax app, Brent Morneau, Austin Lane, the Brent and Austin Show, Jason Hamby as well. We've got some Major League Baseball awards to hand out in just a bit, but right now we're going skating. Now, Austin thinks he can skate.
Well, skate.
Well, he can skate, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done
this
with the Iceman a little bit before.
Yes.
He actually has skated. He can skate.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin. Now, I'm from Rhode Island. I should be able to skate, but I can't. I don't wear that badge proudly. But these guys can skate. Miles Storier and Ian Lorello in studio with us from Disney on Ice. They got a big weekend ahead with a bunch of shows coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I want to just get to this right away. What Disney on Ice character would Austin Lane be at 6'6"?
Probably the Beast, right?
Probably the Beast.
Probably the Beast.
I mean, just simply the Beast?
I think I'd be the Beast. Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys have any suggestions?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I don't know about that.
Is there someone worth missing?
I mean, You know, Beast is a good option.
Yeah.
Beast is a good option.
So maybe some like from Moana. You guys have like any Moana characters?
Maui would be great. Yeah.
I'll Dwayne the Rock Johnson there, Brent. You know, okay. So I can do Maui for sure. Who do you guys play?
I portray the role of Kristoff from Frozen.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I portray the role of Bruno from Encanto.
Nice. Okay. So we're getting all the Disney movies then involved.
Wow. And see, this is where this passes me by a little bit. My kids are seniors. So now I go to the old school. That's why I was thinking the Beast. New school Disney movies, which obviously have been great hits. You involve it all. Don't you? I mean, you gotta stay up with the times. Yeah. How much fun is this for you guys to be in those characters?
Oh, it's great.
And see the reaction, really, of obviously so many kids most of the time.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience to be able to perform these roles in front of everybody and in front of these kids and see their reactions on a day-to-day basis is just wonderful. Sometimes this is like their birthday present, their Christmas present, and it's just like it's the best time of the year for them. So it's a wonderful time.
How was the, because obviously you talk about figure skating, it's all about performing, right? And this is what you guys are doing, you're performing as well. But like, you're also playing a character now, you know? So like, was there training in terms of that, of like embracing a character and trying to showcase who you're trying to play?
Yeah, like we did rehearsals, obviously, to get the show up and running. But for each character, there's like, we have to keep up with the integrity of the character and like the movements they would do, and because we're with Disney, we have very like strict rules on like what the character can and can't do.
Okay.
So that also comes into like effect when we're skating, and there's, you know, there, maybe some characters have like cool moves that they can show off, and that like reflects their character.
Yeah.
For me, like I get to do like a super fun like solo number, and I'm doing a bunch of like jumps and tricks on the ice.
Yeah.
Flips and all that, so like that's very fun to do on the ice, but it has to be like within that character.
The parameters.
Well, so.
What's the level of exhaustion, by the way, between performing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 shows in a weekend and still being able to do all that?
you have to like maintain a certain amount. Like you can't just go full out on practice. You have to be able to do the things you need to do for the show, not to burn yourself out if you have a lot of shows.
For sure.
But the thing is with that, you want to give 100% every time you're out on the ice. So it's trying to maintain those energy levels. If you have 3 shows that day, well, you need to give 100% all 3 shows. But it's like, okay, well, maybe when we have the break for 2 hours in between shows, you know, to relax and chill out a little bit, stretch. So it's like finding that balance. It's not like a football game. You might have 1 game a week or 2 games a week. We have shows like every day and it's quite intense. Then we have a few days off. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you guys mentioned as well, like with football games, you know, you have a set schedule. I mean, you obviously usually play on Sundays. Monday, you come back to the stadiums, you rest. Tuesday, you're resting as well. You guys are performing all the time. What does that do to your bodies, number one, and how do you maintain? Like, do you guys go to the gym? Is it ice tubs? What are you guys doing to stay active?
Oh, for sure. So, like, you know, in the beginning of the season, like, the rehearsal process, the getting the show on the road, very grueling. You got to do a lot of training, a lot of conditioning. As the season goes, we're kind of nearing the end of our run. We've been on since summer. And as the season goes, you kind of have to constantly check in with your body and say, hey, okay, maybe this week or as we're going, I'm going to start going down to more mobility, stretching, flexibility, things like that, as well as because the show itself is already physically exhausting and physically training. So you have to make sure that you save that energy for the show and to be able to then recuperate on the days off properly. So things like, you know, some people do ice baths and stuff like that. But for me, it's like stretching all the time, always stretching, making sure you don't get stiff, especially with like the travel and such that we do every week. When you get off the whatever, whether it's a plane or a bus, you know, you can be a little stiff and stuff. So you have to make sure that you're making sure you're nice and loose by the time the next shows come up.
Yeah. You were telling us a little bit about that in the break too. I mean, you guys were just hit the next stop, but you all go together. I mean, it'll be a plane, I think, to Louisville next, but a lot of times it's a bus.
Yep. On the plane, you know, we all go as a unit. We're all, you know, a close family as we go. So
Well, you better like each other.
You know, things can go up and down with just like our whole family, right? But you know,
with any team, I feel like
exactly. Listen, but we're a team, and it's a great way to put it. We're a team, and we work together to put on a good show.
We spent about 20 minutes earlier in the show talking about toxicity in NFL organizations and organizations. So we won't go there with the Disney on Ice.
No.
We want to know the behind the scenes.
Don't want to set a precedent there. Absolutely not.
DisneyOnIce.com. It'll be here in Jacksonville tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and then three shows. Saturday, 11, 3, 7, and then 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Sunday. And, I mean, I know I just kind of mentioned it about the kids, but, I mean, this is like their best 2 hours of the month, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. This is the holy grail for them. That must make it so much fun, and obviously keeping the energy up, all those things. It's got to, like, reset it every time just because you're seeing a different kid.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Disney on Ice. It would always come to Scotland.
Nice.
So I knew what it was like as a child to watch it. And, like, growing up skating, like, I always went to Disney as, like, oh, I would maybe love to do that when I'm older. You can feel very tired, like behind the curtain, but as soon as you're out there and you see the audience, you get energy from
that. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, with other sports, like, you know, you can have like fans cheering you on, but with us, it's like when you get that applause and that like uplifts you as well. So that's nice. And then you'll go backstage and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I've done like 9 shows this week. Okay, I'm tired. But when you're on the ice, you don't feel it.
The fatigue kind of melts away once you see the audience and the lights are on and you embody the character.
They pick you up.
Yeah, they sure do.
Listen, you guys obviously have been skating a long time. I mean, when did this take shape that this was a possibility to do? Like, did you have this in mind?
Actually, I was competing until I was about 23, 24. And then when I finished, I was like, oh, I'll probably go back to school or something like that. But then I met a couple of my friends from home who knew shows and stuff. And so I started getting into shows, and that led me to Disney eventually. It's so different than the competitive world, because in the competitive world, it's so much about the score, the elements that you're trying to put out. And here it's about the response of the audience. So, you know, if you hear those cheers, if you do something or, you know, do your role and you hear the audience's response, that's that reward that you get. And it's just a very different mentality going into it. So, which is it's really cool. I really enjoy it. So,
well, and Miles and Ian, like, what does it mean to you guys? Because, like, I think of a lot of Olympic sports, like wrestling, for instance. Like, you can become Olympic gold medalist wrestler, but, like, you probably have to have another job eventually on later in life. I think gymnastics can be the same thing. With figure skating, it's kind of that same realm where it's like, all right, you can try to win the Olympics, try to win worlds, but then, like, what's the next step? You guys have actually found something where you can still do what you love and make a pretty good, you know, living off it. So what does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's great that we can go from, like, competitive sport to then making a career out of something you love, because then it doesn't feel like a job.
Yeah.
It means a lot, like, of course, to me. Like, I've been to over like 40 different countries with Disney, traveling the whole world. So I would never be able to do that or afford to do that on my own. But with Disney, we get to work and I get to explore all these different countries or different states on our days off. And then, you know, on a Wednesday or Thursday, we'll open the show every week. But I think that's something fun that not many people can say that they do as a job. It's like, oh, well, I get to travel and work at something that I love to do. So, yeah.
Miles Storier, Ian Lorello with us here on the Brett and Austin Show, Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. And again, DisneyOnIce.com. They've got shows coming up tomorrow night, Saturday 3, 2 of them on Sunday. So plenty of chances to see Disney on Ice this weekend in the Jacksonville area. You guys have been here, I think, since Monday. Do you go see the sights? Do you go out to dinner?
Yeah, try to go to the beach a bit, find those relaxing, restive activities that you can do. Or, you know, some people like to go hiking and stuff. Some people, it depends on each person. We all kind of go off and do our own thing. Some people have gone to Disneyland or Disney World and stuff. So, but yeah, it's like, for me, I'm a beach guy. I like to just kind of lounge.
Chill out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you said you've been to 40 countries. You see a lot of different things.
But Miles is trying to go to NBA. Miles is going to NBA games right. And another professional sports game.
Yeah, true. You're an NBA guy.
Yep. If we're in like a town where there's an NBA game on, I'll be there. So the last one we went to was in Milwaukee. So I got to see Giannis play, which I was very happy
very cool.
about. Later, maybe in November, I got to see LeBron play.
Cool.
So that was very fun. My very first game I ever got to see was Utah Jazz against the Lakers in Utah. So for me, that was like my favorite arena to play at. And we also had the Jumbotron. They filmed us in the show. So when we looked up, we could see us like really, really close up.
In front of the crowd,
and
man.
And
we got
a copy of that video. So it was like, it wasn't just like from an iPhone or a camera. It was like the Jumbotron filming up. So for me, I was like, well, like, I can't ask for any more.
You hit it big.
Yeah.
You hit it big.
Yeah.
Manchester United fan as well. So that's pretty cool. We had a Monster Jam in here a couple weeks back, and we're talking about the tricks and different stunts and things that they do. They push the envelope. In your world of competitive figure skating, I feel like that's probably always being pushed, the next thing, right?
Oh, for sure.
How about in this?
Yeah,
will
so,
you still push the envelope a little bit? And
definitely.
And what you're doing even in costume, if you will?
Yep, definitely. We have some pretty impressive lifts and jumps and tricks. Miles does some pretty impressive tricks as well. And then we also have acrobatic stunts that we add. So we have different apparatuses depending on the show. We have three different ones here. We have stilt walkers on the ice. We have Ariel in The Little Mermaid flies 30 feet in the air and spins around. And then there's also an apparatus that was designed specifically for this show that is unique. That I wouldn't want to spoil.
Okay.
Very cool.
That's we can appreciate a good tease in the business. no doubt about that. Disney on Ice again, coming to Jacksonville over the next few weeks. It's here, folks. DisneyOnIce.com for tickets and many shows that can fit your schedule over this Easter weekend, which is really cool. Okay, last thing for you guys. You guys are really good figure skaters, of course, and skaters in general. When you put on the costume, did you become like a worse skater right away? Like how long did it take to get used to that?
The costumes, some of them can be very heavy.
That's what I'm thinking.
You also have like, they're called gaiters, but it's like, you know, to look like our shoes, they go over our skates. Then we have like, maybe like trousers that aren't as like tight fitted as like, you know, what you normally wear. So like you have to adjust, and you might have like a jacket that as soon as you jump up, it goes up. So you have to like almost figure out a different technique on how you're going to be able to land these jumps every day under pressure, under a spotlight, with the costume on. So that's why we have like such a like extensive rehearsal period as well. We had it in Florida for like a month, and then we went to Puerto Rico, did shows there, and then hit the States and been touring in the States since September. But like we have that rehearsal period so that people can adjust to like doing these different tricks. We have like me and Ian, we also like do different roles in the show where we will be lifting girls above our heads. And that also takes time because, you know, you can maybe lift a girl like off the ice, that's fine. But then doing it on the ice with skates, with blades, then put them in costume with a dress, it's completely different. So we have to like adjust, and that also takes a lot of training. That's why we need to be in the gym also.
Yeah. Sometimes that skirt flies in your face while you're with her. You just gotta know the ice, and you're like, okay, I know I can go this way. You only get that through lots of rehearsal, like knowing how much your patterns are moving and how much your ice time, how much ice coverage you have.
And real quick, knowing the ice too, you mentioned here, like every venue that you guys go to, is the ice a little different? Because I remember playing hockey as a kid and like playing in different like cities, and like the ice always felt a little different in each city. Is it kind of the same thing for you guys?
The ice feels a little different, and that's why we get to practice before we do the shows. But the ice size can vary. So
okay.
Especially, I mean, here it's pretty good. We go to these big arenas, and it's like, you know, a fairly big size of ice. But when we go to different countries, you know, it could be a small venue and we could be skating on less than half the ice we're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the show feels like almost a completely different show because you have to change how you go into every single element.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You have to adjust all your patterns. Like Puerto Rico is a very small rink. So we had to adjust all of our patterns so that they fit properly so that we could still perform all the cool tricks that we had to offer. So
have you, much like competition, have you done the perfect show?
Oh, you know, the perfect show is, to me, the one that the audience loves the most.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've loved about performance versus competition is that it no longer becomes about just me and my skating. It's about the audience that I'm performing to. Mm-hmm. So it's like very humbling. I've humbled myself to be able to do that, and it's honestly very rewarding because of that.
But you guys, obviously, as competitive, you like that competition.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Does that give you that? There's still a pressure to this, obviously.
For sure.
We're not a judge, but
maybe
a harsher judge sometimes.
Well, more a harsher judge for yourself because you want to make sure that you're putting the best thing out there for this audience because they put a lot of time and effort into coming to see you. The kids have been expecting this for a long time, and so it's like you really want to do your absolute best for them. So yeah, for sure, like you have a lot of self pressure in that too.
Yeah.
So
Brent, you taking notes on the perfect show, cater to the audience. Maybe not talk about golf so much all the time on our show then, right? Maybe some wrestling or something once in a while. Okay,
you can come to Scotland and play some rounds in the golf course.
I will be there sometime. It hasn't happened yet, but I will be there sometime. That will be the perfect show because I'll miss the show. That
I'm 30 minutes away from St Andrews, so you can come.
I will call for some advice, or at least a connection for a tea time, maybe.
Yeah.
Miles Storier, Ian Lorello, Disney on Ice. Have a great time here in Jacksonville. Hope it's an awesome few shows.
Thank you, guys.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, 11, 3, and 7 Saturday, 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Sunday. DisneyOnIce.com. It's in Jacksonville. Don't miss it. Take the kids this weekend. We'll be right back on the Brent and Austin Show.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 network.
All right, so here we are. This is our prediction list for, my goodness, you know what this looks like? This looks like a 1996 Apple II computer.
You know what this looks? This looks like a
newspaper.
No. This is great. This is like a newspaper. This is very baseball-y. I love what Hamby did here.
Yeah,
this is good.
I love what Hamby did here.
Got on my notepad.
Now let's get the Reds out of there. But besides that, everything's looking great.
That's really wild, though. That's kind of funny. It does have a very old school look.
Yeah. Now, Hamby, was this by design, or could you not figure out how to get anything more updated?
This was the most accessible thing.
Okay.
That wasn't what I've used in the past, which was just Twitter and...
All right. Kids Corner doesn't have time for Times New Roman, huh, Brent?
Times New Roman.
You know what I'm saying?
Times New Roman's a common one.
Be honest, did you ever, when you had that college paper due and it was supposed to be 12 font, did you ever bump that bad boy up to 13?
Oh, yeah.
Bump that bad boy up to 13 and maybe, until double space, double to half space, you know what I'm saying? 2.5?
You know what I've been doing a lot of? Because the kids have been, applying for scholarships and stuff like that. And so they've had to write a lot of essays.
Okay. You can just cover them?
Well, no, I'm like the editor. Like, I'm the English teacher. Steph's the math teacher. I'm the English teacher. But a lot of them have to go down to like 500 words or something. Well, the kids, and I, you know exactly, like teachers, now I know how a teacher feels because we used to do the same thing. You like write these damn run-on sentences or you say the same damn thing over and over just to get to 540 words or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, well, you just like, I get what you're doing here, kid.
Yeah.
And so, but I have to get it to like from 590 all the way down to 497. So I'm the axe man. Like I'm cutting it down. But it's so funny to see kind of what you used to do. Like
of course.
Steph's the school person. Like I'm worried about ERAs and batting averages.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
She's worried about grade point averages.
Yep.
And so I don't pay attention to any of it. But now, like 18 years later, I haven't really seen an essay in like that long, it feels like. And I'm like, yeah, I used to do this too. We all did. And somehow the teacher still gave you like a B, even though they knew exactly what you were doing.
One of my biggest go-tos, we'll get back to baseball picks, but one of my biggest go-tos was when I had a book report and I had to get in front of the class to give that book report. Obviously didn't read the book, right? Read like the first couple pages. And we didn't have like the internet back then to cheat off it. I'd always say the same thing. I don't want to spoil the ending of it because it's really crazy and really good, but definitely check out this book. So I would give like a summary of like the first 2-3 pages, and then I'd be like, and as far as the ending's concerned, I don't want to spoil it, but you definitely got to check it out. And then tell me how it went. And every single time, A, Spoilers. Hey. Spoilers. They don't give away the spoilers.
But this is, in a lot of ways, this is what I always say about schoolwork. That, how it looks and everything else, they want you to just do it. So kids, just do it. Like, if you just complete it, do your homework. Like, Brent, it's impossible to fail.
Yeah, but Brent, you're talking to the wrong generation, though, man, because these kids all ask, why? Why do I have to do it?
Yeah, I know. Well, don't. Just do it.
We got to do our homework and finish this assignment.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Sorry, we're getting a little bit of a soapbox here.
All right, Brent, give me your AL and ML MVP.
My AL MVP is going to be Soto.
Docker.
Oh, wow, Brent. Hampus getting a little cocky around here.
He hates the Yankees. I appreciate that about him.
Yeah, I mean, that is admirable.
It also just actually triggers me that all he has got to do is hit a little pop fly to right field and it's a bomb.
Well, listen, like they've set that up. I mean, I in fairness to them, they've done a guy that's going to really take advantage of that. And yeah, I think his on-base percentage is going to be ridiculous, and they've wanted that in their lineup.
Rizzo couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, they've tried guys, right? They try, what's his name, the guy that strikes out all the time, and I always forget
Gallo.
His name. Yeah, Gallo.
Yeah.
Didn't
all right, work. Awesome.
Hey, you know how I feel about the Blue Jays. And if you're going to put them on the cover of MLB The Show 2024, you better bring that MVP contention into running here. Go and give me Vlad Guerrero Jr. as your MVP.
I love it. I'm going to go Adley Rutschman because a catcher hadn't got it since Joe Mauer. And, you know, why not? I think the Orioles are.
That's pretty good. I like you going outside the box.
Yeah.
On this stuff, don't try too hard to go outside the
box.
But I do like.
I know, but he's fifth in odds.
Okay.
So, I didn't know he was that high. Okay. Yeah, I should have looked a little harder at these odds then. Okay.
Soto was right behind Judge as 1 and 2. Shocker. So.
NL MVP?
Go ahead, Brent.
What you got, Brent?
I like Acuna a lot.
Oh.
How about we go have fun here? Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, my gosh. What team does he play for, Brent?
The Reds.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Let's go have fun with it, man. How about a monster year coming up?
Oh, man.
Real quick.
Those poor Reds fans.
Austin.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick. Yeah, go ahead and give me. I mean, you know how I feel about it. I'm taking Bryce Harper.
All right. I'm taking the back-to-back. Acuna.
Okay.
All right, Cy Young, we got to rip
through
these.
Why are we ripping him for homering up?
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I mean,
I had the Phillies in the NLCS.
Just wait till you see my
Cy Youngs. I'm going to go George Kirby in the AL, and in the NL, I'm going Zach Wheeler.
Okay.
Cy Youngs, NL, I'm going Freddy Peralta.
Like it.
And I'm going Corbin Burns.
Ooh, okay.
Chalk there, I know. Oh, and by the way, and people are wondering too, my Aaron Hicks leadoff player of the year, Brett? Julio Rodriguez of your Seattle Mariners, everybody.
God bless him.
All right, I'm taking Burns. No, I'm not. I'm taking, who am I taking in the AL? All right, give me Burns in the AL. Mm-hmm. And in the NL, I'm actually not taking a Brave. I'm going to take Logan Webb.
Yeah, that's a good one. Pretty good one. Are we already over?
No, we got 20 seconds.
All right, we got 20 seconds. That's it, right? We're done? Good. We did it. Those are your Major League Baseball predictions. All Enjoy right. opening day for those that are playing. And have a good rest of your Thursday. 1 o'clock cup date coming up, and we've got a lineup all the way until 3 and then replay Brett and Austin show after that. Have a good day, everybody.
If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJacks.com.